Hello everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He truly is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Listen close. The Lord has something to say. He wants us to pay attention to what's in His heart. When the Lord tries to get our attention, we need to take time and listen. As we go in prayer, whenever you pray and spend time with the Lord, drawing near to Him, never end the prayer session without listening to what He puts on your heart. Recognize the thoughts that come as you draw near to the Lord. Many times that's Him speaking to you personally. If you are a Christian, every Christian has the Holy Spirit within. From the time that Jesus died for us and people believed on Him, the Holy Spirit was on the inside. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because when Jesus died, He appeared to His disciples and they believed on Him. He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." That's the Holy Spirit within. Every believer has the Holy Spirit within if they are indeed a believer. If you ask Jesus to save you, if you ask the Lord to save you, believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that His blood washed away your sins and He rose again for your justification, if you believe that and you received it and you repent from your sins, the Holy Spirit lives inside you to guide you in this life according to my favorite scripture, St. John chapter verse 13. St. John 16 verse 13. Now, to help you do the ministry work of God, because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon us to help us do our work for the Lord. Every believer has the Holy Spirit within. Every Baptist minister, every Methodist, every Episcopalian. Everybody who believe, even the Catholics that believe on Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit within. Every believer in Jesus has the Holy Spirit within. Why in the world don't we spend time communing with Him? It doesn't make sense to have access to all knowledge inside you and you don't even have a relationship with Him. That's shameful. And then to give us strength and power, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we speak in tongues, we prophesy, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. The spiritual gifts according to 1 Corinthians 12 should be operating on us. I know many people that have some of those spiritual gifts. I don't think I know anybody that has all of them. Jesus operated in all of them. In different parts of your life, you may operate in many of them. But the ones that consistently operate in your ministry are the ones you have. They're gifts. I can tell you when the Lord gave me gifts and what was happening, and I remember them operating in my ministry. But beyond all that, we need to commune with the Lord. Hear Him out. Hear what He's saying. Especially when He tries to warn you, to help you out. He put people in your heart for you to pray for. He give you dreams, sometimes of danger, so that you can pray and use your faith to get your loved ones out of danger before they die. Or before something happens. I'm reminded of when I had a sister-in-law. And I dreamt that there was a tiger in our house. And when I, in the dream, the tiger was asleep. And I said, I dreamt that there was a tiger in your house. And I said, when that tiger wakes up, he's going to want to eat. I said, I had the dream and I told her about what I dreamt. It was so real. And that was when their daughter was very young. And then she told me what was happening. Her husband was allowing people to gamble in their apartment. And she eventually put a stop to it. Because, you know, when that's just a recipe for a disaster. Your family's there, your daughter's in the bed asleep, somebody get mad and start a fight and shooting because they lost their rent money or something. But if that tiger woke up, it was going to want to eat. Somebody was going to die. The Lord gives us dreams to help us out and guides us, and we should not be paying. We should be paying attention, living with our eyes open. The Lord loves us, and He's here to give us the answers we need. And people go off on tangents. They say, "Well, I believe this. I believe that. I believe this religion," and the religion is doing them no good. Because if God ain't in it, the devil is. Let me put it to you real plain, real good, easy to understand English. The way to hell is broad. It's a wide road. Many there be that follow that sorry path. But the way to heaven is a narrow path. You're going to go to heaven through Jesus Christ. Everything else will lead you straight to hell. Even when you think you're good enough to go on your own merit. If you don't have a Savior, and if your Savior is not Jesus Christ, you are not going to heaven. Preacher, that sounds narrow-minded. It's very narrow. It's very narrow-minded. It's real easy. Sin entered the world through Adam, and the Lord destroyed sin by Jesus Christ, and He will forgive you of all your sins because the blood of Jesus washed away your sin. He didn't say the blood of somebody else washed away your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. All these foreign gods and men that people have idolized and called God and prophets, they will lead you to hell. And they in hell now, and they wish they could get out and come back, because a lot of people went to hell because of the lies they taught. Now, the Lord has to come back. His return is imminent. In other words, any day now. And I don't know the day and hour, and He's not going to tell me the day and the hour. I just know it's at hand. We live the theme that the Lord gave me was end times. We've been talking about the shell game, how the enemy has, when he didn't know who the son of the seed of woman was. We know it's Jesus Christ, but throughout history he was trying to figure out who he needed to kill. He tried to stop your Savior before he was ever born, and he thought different people was the seed of woman. Because he didn't know how it was going to work. Angels are very smart. Demons used to be angels. And the Lord didn't reveal to Satan who it was. He just told him what he was going to do. And the enemy, as smart as he thought he was, he tried to figure it out. In Isaiah 14, we see that he tried to take over heaven. Isaiah 12. We see him trying to take over heaven. And that didn't work. So now, he's still trying to do it. He's still trying to develop a kingdom wherever he can. And now the fight is on earth. So he's trying to stop the seed of woman. And he couldn't do it. I'm teaching that to show you warfare. To show you why things go wrong. It's a popular belief that God just does everything. He does people good and bad. He puts stumbling blocks in people's way. He give them a job, take it away. They blame half the stuff Satan do on God. And the reason I say half the stuff he do, when things go south. See, the things that's wrong, that seem pleasing, Satan does that. The things that get you off track, that's the half nobody recognizes. But when it all goes south, when it develops into a disaster, then they say God did it to teach you a lesson. He gave us His word to teach us a lesson. He gave us five types of ministers, the fivefold ministry, to help us grow and be just like Him. That's the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists. Well, if that being said, why in the world is most of the church parking lots half empty. Your car can break down in a church parking lot and nobody will recognize it for a few weeks, because people got their priorities all upside down. That's because they was listening to the fun side of Satan. But it's going to go south. And when it does, it's not God's fault. We need to be learning the ways of God. Every Christian is trying to grow. They're trying to walk out their own salvation. So it's important to have a single eye looking to the Lord, learning His ways, learning His words. Verse in Luke chapter 11, verse 33 says, "And no man, when he lights a candle, puts it on in a secret place, neither under a bush, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. If a man light a candle in darkness so he can see, he puts it so he can have the light." And in the day Jesus spoke this, people didn't waste candles. They didn't burn them in the daytime because they need them at night. So nobody put a candle in it and then hid it. That don't make sense. Then he said this, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." In other words, to make it all plain and simple, when it's your heart's desire to know the Lord and be pure like He wants you to, and you say, "I don't want to sin no more. I want to do right. I want to do people right. I want to think right. And I don't want to be tempted. I don't want to be an adulterer. I don't want to be no witch. I don't want to steal from people. I want to live a clean life. I don't want to commit fornication and homosexuality. I want to do what's right, not what's wrong." All right. Your eye is single at that point. But when you look across the field and see something that's in the world that's opposite to the heart of God, and you start wondering about it and desiring it, your eye stopped being single, and the leaven of that sin will infiltrate your whole life. Until you stop it, until you do something about it, until you tell Satan, "No, thank you," and turn away from that sin. Until you do that, your body, your eye is not single. But when you're doing things God's way, when you take authority over Satan, when you stop him in his tracks, that's when your eye is single and you live unadulterated. It's important. So when you go to church, if something's not right, pray about it. Remember, in our own mind and our own ways, we can't fix the problem. But the Lord can, because salvation from start to finish is the work of the Holy Spirit. The needs in your church, when things are not right, when things are missing, don't badmouth the people. Forgive their sin, forgive them of what they don't understand, and pray that the Lord will send the help that you see that they plainly need. That's the way it works. If the church if they need a children's ministry, for instance, pray for the children's ministry. If you try to go and fix it yourself, it may not work. The Lord has sent somebody that's suited for that ministry, that wants to do it, and then it'll work. But if you go say, "Pastor, we need a children's ministry, because the children make too much noise and we can't hear what you're saying." Well, he might put his nephew in charge and his nephew might not want to do it. So you're going to have a greater problem. If the Lord build the house, unless he build the house, we're laboring in vain. But if you pray for the need and believe God, the Lord will honor your faith and then you'll have the children ministry that you need eventually. He will grow people up, and eventually you'll have just what you pray for. In the meantime, do the best you can. If you really want to do it, don't go tell the pastor you want to, that he needs to put you in charge of it. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do this if it be your will. And then pray for it. Whoever God send, thank him for it. Whoever he send to do the work, thank him for it. And if it's you, then thank him for it. But if it's somebody else, thank him for it. Eventually, he may want you to do something like that, but don't do anything until he prepare you for it. If you go too fast, it can be a bigger problem. This is how churches have deviated, and the enemy would divide them because he's trying to infiltrate it in the first place. Now, up on the radio broadcast, we're out of time. Remember, the Lord loves you. He will continue to teach you and bless you. And I may be out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to bless, talk to you all day long if you want him to. But for the website, newlivingletters.com, the rest of this broadcast is on that website. You can finish hearing on the website, newlivingletters.com, on the audio page, on the audio 2 page. Now, in helping a church heal, it requires your prayer of faith. If you doubt, it's not going to work. If you're up and down about it, it's not going to work. Put it in God's hands. Pray for what you want. Be willing to do whatever work he give you to do. He may tell you to go and express the need that you're praying about to the pastor. But if he doesn't do it, don't do it. Do what God put on your heart concerning the situation. Otherwise, just sit back and let the Lord direct. The Lord, the Holy Spirit is the director of our salvation and of our works. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He gave you the possibility to walk by faith. He will help you walk by faith until your faith is finished. And he will back up your faith. So what you put before the Lord, believe that he heard your prayers and then he will do it. If there's a problem, as long as you're in faith, he will deal with you about that problem. I don't know what he'll tell you. He may tell you something totally that you don't expect, but whatever he tell you, whatever you put on your heart, that's going to solve the problem. And remember, the Lord won't go against a person's will. But our community churches, there are many things that's just not going to be right. Pray and ask the Lord, which church should I be a member of? Go where he sends you. And while you're there, pray for the needs and be receptive to learn. And you got to study. It's your responsibility to study the Word of God. Every man is responsible for his own salvation. You can't rely on the pastor to tell you to interpret the whole Word of God for you. That's not the way it works. You got to study, and the Holy Spirit will open your understanding. The pastor is there to help you out. And the people who go to church, that's your network. Let me explain something. Before people backslide, they backslide in stages. If they go to church at all, they go to church. All right, and they're being blessed. And the enemy know that they're being blessed. And he wants you weak and not strong. So he always, not sometimes, but he always tries to figure out a way how to divide you from that house of strength. Somebody's going to say something, understand something wrong, start a rumor, whatever. Some kind of strife. He's always trying to start a strife. Now, I go to church. If I hear anything, if I see it brewing, I tell Satan to stop. I don't go and talk to the people unless they ask me something. And it don't happen often because I go to a good church, and most people there are very strong. But the church, there are churches I went to, when I saw things brewing, I said, Satan, stop it. In Jesus' name, you stop it. You're not going to scatter this church. And if they bring something to me, then I counsel them according to the heart of God. Because any church that is strong, the enemy is trying desperately to divide it. And the ones that stands out are the ones that love God and they fight back. I've seen many works about to take off, and the people made much progress, and they ended up dividing over foolish things. So you have to be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You can't be easily offended. Jesus said offenses are going to come. But you don't have to be offended. The wisdom of the Lord is there with you to give you the answers you need. The way to respond to things when they go wrong. It's important that we walk it out. Don't be so fast to leave your network of strength and safety. Especially if the Lord sent you to that church. Be patient. Well, the pastor's supposed to know this. He treated me this way. He didn't do me right. He didn't let me preach. He cut my time short. I couldn't even finish my song. It's going to happen. Get over it. Because until people can yield to the Holy Spirit, things are going to go wrong. But that doesn't mean it's not a good church. Don't be so fast to side with the offense. Speak life to that church. Do it in the name of Jesus. Do it on purpose. Build the church up. When you have extra, give an extra offering. When you have a need, give an extra offering. In faith. And don't be in strife with anybody. Especially the pastor. With that being said, if the Lord revealed to you that there's something wrong, if he give you any instruction, if you're going to a church you went to it for a long time, and the Lord put in your spirit to go somewhere else, there's a reason for it. Sometimes there are tares among the wheat. Sometimes the pastor can be a tare. Don't be so fast to call somebody a tare. A tare is a sinner that loves Satan. And they're going to do it Satan's way. And they're not of God, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and according to Jude. I have to say that because there are churches out there that are corrupt. But the main thing I'm saying is there are good churches out there that can offend you. And if you leave, this is what you're leaving. You're leaving your source of encouragement. You're leaving those that will pray for you when they see things in your life. You're leaving people that need your help. You're decreasing the financial strength of the church. When you leave, your money don't go with you. It leaves with you. See, the Lord's going to reward those who bless the kingdom. So go to a true church where the pastor tell you to do right, who love God. Don't go to the ones that's trying to please the people. Understand that every church is under attack. And some churches are infiltrated. They're not under attack. They are the attack. Some churches is a weapon against your community and against the kingdom of God itself. Because the pastor is a tear, and people produce after that kind, and eventually the whole church will be full of tares and witches. Pastor, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you how it is. I can't point them out unless the Lord You have to go by what the Lord says. You don't want to take your children to a compromised church. You want to take your children to a good one. And when you go there, contend for the church. Don't let the enemy divide your church. That's where your family goes and other people that you love. You do everything you can do to keep it strong and build everybody up according to the wisdom and the love and the guidance of God. God loves his people. Now we're going to talk about the shell game again. But these things are the things that the Lord put on my heart for this broadcast. We need strong churches that will preach the word and not what people want to hear because they ain't decided to repent yet. We need churches that walk the line, that walk the narrow path, that are very narrow-minded. They are the ones that get people saved, healed, set free from demons, out of the bondage of Satan, out of the bondage of the devices of this world. Our country is almost infiltrated with drug use. There's probably nobody on earth or nobody in America that's not kin to somebody that's not on drugs. And that's a doggone shame. Every drug dealer is a weapon. Every prostitute is designed by Satan to be a weapon. Everybody that loves sin is Satan's weapon. They yielded themselves to the dark side, to the ways of this world, and their advice is wicked. Their persuasion is wicked. The way they live is wicked. And all wickedness turns you away from God. All sin is designed to cause you to curse God and die. And everybody that died without a Savior will go to hell. And some of them are very kind people. Jesus said the fields are white, but the laborers are few. And the reason the laborers are few is because people are not allowing God to train them to serve him. And with that, don't traditionalize what God gives you to do. Go in his presence, get a firm understanding, and do exactly what he gives you to do. And not what everybody's trying to make you do. If the Lord don't build a house, you're laboring in vain. If your heart's not in it, it's not gonna work right. If your heart's not in, it's not gonna work right. We have to do it God's way. But if we do it God's way, it's gonna work. And until God give you an assignment, just be faithful. We'll do what the word say do. Walk in love with everybody you know. Go to church and contribute. Pray for every need you find out about. Pray for the financial strength of the church. Pray for your own financial strength. Ask God for wisdom. Learn to operate in the kingdom. Jesus once said that the children of this world are wiser in their kingdom than the children of God are in his kingdom. That's because God's people don't learn how the kingdom works. You got to believe God by your faith. You got to learn to believe God by your faith. And if you don't, it's not going to work like the world. The world runs opposite to God. The world, it operates out of the mind and not out of the heart of God. But the wisdom of God, everything is by faith. Take God at his word, stand on the word, and do the word. On your job, work as unto God. And don't act like the people that work with you and try to get out of work. Work as unto God. Do it right. and you'll see the handiwork of God in your life. Now, we're about out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to bless those that hear him out and love him and go in his presence and take him at his word. He'll teach you all day. He has a lot to say to us. Now, till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.